Chapter 14 Predictions. I woke up slowly from the sedation Elsa had given me. I remembered having had dreams. They hadn't been as intense or persistent as the first time, but they left behind the same malaise, guilt, and self-loathing. If the process had driven Moonboy back into that childhood closet, bound and gagged and strangling in the darkness, I could only hope for his sake that he was truly dead now. Memory is a prison from which there is no other escape. But there are distractions. I found my slippers and went out into the hall and ripped my way along the tomato vines toward the exercise machines, which I could hear ticking along. The tomato was floating free, so I ate it like an apple. Not quite ripe, a little sour. My stomach gave a warning growl, so I saved most of it to finish with some bread. No need for parsimony anymore, of course. We probably had 200 times the amount of food we could consume between here and Earth. Carmen and Paul were working out on the walking and bicycling machines, their VR helmets in tandem. I could hear her soft voice, not quite understandable over the noise of the machines as they chatted. She was wearing a white skin suit, translucent with sweat. Perhaps I was studying her too intently. "Nice view," Dustin said in a whisper behind me. "How are you doing?" "Not quite awake yet." I held up the tomato, eating in my sleep.
"Dreams?"
"Not as bad this time. Seen Elsa?"
"In the library with Merrill. Looked kind of deep. Get some chow?"
"Sure." We took the long way around to the kitchen, avoiding the library. I settled for cheese and crackers to go with my tomato. Dustin zapped a steak sandwich. I got a squeeze bag of cold tea out of the fridge. He opted for wine. Paul verified that we're where we're supposed to be and got the rotation started. He checked his watch. "It's 13:40 now. We've got, 20 hours, 20 minutes, till we point her toward Earth and go. Away from Earth." I set my watch. I slept late. Last one up? Let me guess, Paul wants a meeting. He smiled. "Good guess. He said 1500 if you were up." Couple of hours to kill. Normally, this time of day, I'd ping Fly and Amber and see whether he wanted to practice some Japanese. Not that he ever needed to practice old vocabulary, since he never forgot. My only Martian friend, dead now 6 years. "New game?" Dustin said. It took me a second to sort that out. "Sure, I believe you're white.
Pawn to K4.
"God, you sneaky bastard."
We bundled up and met in the compromise lounge. "So what are we going to find on Earth 50 years in the future?" Paul said. "Worst case, Namir?"
I guess someone had to articulate it.
"In the worst case, there will be nothing there except a messenger from the others, which will detect and destroy us with no hesitation or explanation."
No one looked surprised. "The main assumption is that one or both, Moonboy and Fly and Amber, survives the transformation process with memory intact. That memory will include the construction of the fleet, and once that's revealed, Earth will go the way of the others home. They can make the flight to Earth a little faster than we, with more acceleration, so the destruction may be a fait accompli by the time we arrive."
"Always the starry-eyed optimist," Paul said.
"You asked for the worst case. Anybody want to try for the best case?"
"It was all a bad dream," Dustin said. "We wake up in 2088.
"And discover we've been fed a psychotropic drug," Elsa said, "which gave us all the same dream. Or we could hope it is all real, but the others will take a long time to respond, like thousands of years."
"Or they may not care," Dustin said. "The fleet's just there to protect the Earth. It's not capable of interstellar travel, not by several orders of magnitude."
"Not yet," Elsa said.
"It would take too much fuel," Paul said. "How many icebergs like this one are there? And the logistics and expense of launching just one were like a major world war."
That seemed kind of simplistic to me. "The only reason we need the iceberg is that we haven't completely figured out how the free energy works. We use the free energy to initiate fusion, which makes the antimatter, which makes energy."
"None of you are considering a middle course,"
Snowbird said, between being destroyed by the others and being ignored. But I think this is the most likely. They long ago predicted this situation, creation of the fleet, as a possible outcome of their actions and yours. Their response to this outcome was decided before we even left the solar system, and the machinery to implement that response was also in place before we left.
I had to agree. That does sound like them, Snowbird. What do you think that machinery might be?
Doomsday, Helza said. Like last time, but bigger.
Snowbird made an odd gesture, two fingers on her small hands, pointing out and counter-rotating.
I think not. That would be inelegant.
Too direct, I said. They do seem to prefer doing things in complicated ways. Like the roundabout way they first contacted us. A code within a code, even though they understood human languages and had no apparent reason to be obscure.
It's stranger than that, she said. Complicated becomes simple, and simple becomes complicated. This is something that Fly and Amber and I disagreed on. He felt we understood the others better than humans do. I think we just misunderstand them in different ways.
You're products of their intelligence.
She nodded, bobbing.
It's like a human play or novel. Oedipus Rex or King Lear. The children can misunderstand their parents in ways that nobody else can.
Good examples, Dustin said. Happy endings.